healthy shock to see her sitting at the table. A kind of electric charge in my spine tingled right up to the roots of my hair. This was a moment I had waited for a very long time. It took a positive effort to relax and appear indifferent, at least as indifferent as any healthy young male is in front of an attractive package of femininity. Of course, this girl didn't resemble Angelina very much, yet I still had no doubt. The face was changed, as was the color of the hair, and though the face was a new one, it still held the same sweet, angelic quality as the old. Her figure was much the way I remembered it, with perhaps a few slight improvements. Hers was a surface transformation, with no attempt at being as complete as the one I had done to me. "This is Grav Bent Diebstahl," the Count said, fixing his hot and smoky little eyes on her. "The man you wanted to see, Angela." So she was still an angel, though under a different name. That was a bad habit she should watch, only I wasn't going to tell her. A lot of people have been caught by taking an alias too similar to their old one. "Why, thank you, Cassator," she said. Cassator, indeed. I'd look unhappy, too, if I had to go through life with a handle like Cassator Erdenrunt. "It was very nice of you to bring Grav Bent here," she added in the same light and empty voice. Cassie must have been expecting a warmer welcome because he stood first on one foot and then another and mumbled something which neither of us heard. But Angelina Angela's welcome stayed at the same temperature, or perhaps dropped a degree or two, as she shuffled some papers on the table in front of her. Even through his fog, the Count caught on and went out mumbling something else under his breath that I was pretty sure was one of the shorter and more unwholesome words in the local dialect. We were alone. "Why did you tell those lies about being in the Stellar Guard?" she asked in a quiet voice, apparently still busy at the papers. This was my cue to smile sardonically and flick some imaginary dust from my sleeve. "Well, I certainly couldn't tell all those nice people what I've really been doing all these years I have been away, could I?" I responded with wide-eyed simplicity. "What were you doing, Bent?" she asked, and there wasn't a trace of any emotion in her voice. "That's really my business, isn't it?" I told her, matching toneless tone for tone. "And while we're asking questions, I would like to know who you are, and how come you seem to throw more weight around than the great Count Cassator?" I'm good at playing this kind of guessing game, but Angie was just as good and dragged the conversation back to her own grounds. "Since I am in the stronger position here, I think you'll find it wise to answer my questions. Don't be afraid of shocking me. You would be surprised at the things I know about." "No, Angelica, love, I wouldn't be surprised at all. But I couldn't just tell all without a little resistance." "You're the one behind this revolution idea, aren't you?" I said, as a statement, not a question. "Yes," she said, laying her cards on the table so she could see mine. "Well, if you must know then," I said, "I was smuggling. It is a very interesting occupation if you happen to know what to take where. For a number of years I found it was a most lucrative business. Finally, though, a number of governments felt I was giving them unfair competition, since they were the only ones allowed to cheat the public. With the pressure on, I returned to my sluggish native land.